Hi, I'm Emily Liddell.
And I'm Kyle Kitchen-Dorian.
And you're listening to The Accessible Stall.
So, what are we going to talk about today, Kyle?
I think today we should focus on instances of unwanted help.
Oh boy, I could go on and on about that topic.
I think everyone with a disability can. It's a fairly ubiquitous thing in our world.
So, we should probably define what we mean by unwanted help.
Yeah. Unwanted help is sort of like, imagine, if you will, you see an elderly person walking across the street, and in the stereotypical format, the way it should go is you ask them if they want help to cross the street, they say yes, and then you help them. Now imagine if the elderly person says no, or maybe not today, and you insist on helping them anyway, because you think that you know that the elderly person needs more help than they're letting on, and they're just saying no for their pride or something. That is sort of what people with disabilities go through on a fairly frequent basis.
So I guess a comparison would be if I was pushing my wheelchair across the street and someone said, "Hey, you look like you might need some help. Can I help you out?" And I say, "No, thank you." Or I say, "Yes, please." And they go either on their merry way or they help me across the street. Alternatively, I've had people come up behind me and grab my wheelchair from the back unexpectedly sometimes and start jolting me forward without my permission. And claim that it's because they're trying to help.
Yeah, and I guess the main focus of this episode isn't that help is bad, because it isn't. Most of the time, help is exactly what it is. But the point of this is that we tend to know when we need help more than you do. And sometimes the reasons that we say no to unwanted help isn't because we're, you know, too prideful. It's because your idea of help might actually be doing more harm than good.
And sometimes it's a little bit embarrassing, too, because people will throw themselves at you and automatically offer help without assuming that you might be totally fine figuring things out on your own, like our little adventure in the movie theater.
Yes.
A couple of weeks ago.
You should tell that story.
Yeah, so Kyle and I and our friend Meg went to go see a movie, and we were minding our own business, waiting on the line, and out of nowhere, literally out of nowhere, a movie theater worker comes up behind me and says, "Come with me, I'm gonna show you where to go." And we were just like, where did he come from and why is he yelling in front of everyone? And then when I said, "Oh, I'm good, I'm gonna wait here with my friends, thank you," he said, "Okay, I was just trying to help," and, you know, backed off with this sort of offended puppy dog look on his face. And so it raised the question in my mind, should I be feeling guilty for rejecting an offer of help, or should I feel like I said no because I didn't need it, and that's that?
It's one of those weird social situations, right? Because the other person in this scenario really thought they were doing you a favor, and they probably were on some level, and it puts the pressure on you, because when you say no for whatever reason you have to say no, to them, it makes you look like the bad guy. And it's just, it's bad all around, because now you've left a sour taste in his mouth. He's probably never going to offer help again. And everyone walks away slightly worse off. And it could have easily been avoided if the person just came up to you guys and asked you if you needed help.
I will counter that with, sometimes I am literally just sitting there doing nothing. And someone will approach me and say, "Do you need help?" But I won't be making any indication that I'm in any sort of distress. Sometimes I'm just sitting there playing around on my phone or, you know, just sort of staring off into space, waiting for someone. But I think Wheelchair almost calls out, "Help me, help me." And I struggled because I don't want people to think that I'm ungrateful or that I find them unkind, because I know that someone who's trying to help me is not a malicious person. But I also don't want to automatically appear helpless or just be somebody's good deed for the day, you know?
Yeah, it's a fine line. I feel like, for the most part, when you refuse help, that, you know, some people just shrug their shoulders and go about their day. But there's always this small percentage of people that they almost get offended. No, they do get offended. They get legitimately offended that, you know, how dare this poor disabled person refuse the help of me? And I'm not a fan. You know, I don't even understand it. You know, I feel like, as a person, if somebody says they don't need my help, it's probably for a good reason.
Have you ever had a situation similar to mine? Because I know that, you know, our disabilities present themselves differently. So for me, the wheelchair is a very visible symbol. But for you, I don't think people pick up on it quite as quickly that you have a disability.
You know, it's funny. They don't. But what does happen is when they see it, they're more than happy to help. If I'm having a particularly, I don't know what it is, right? Because I don't notice it. But I know that it's not completely invisible, and I know that if somebody sees it, every single time they've been more than willing to offer real, actual help that I actually did need. So I can't say that that's a bad thing. But what I will say is that there have been, and I can't think of specifics, but I'm sure that a scenario has happened in my life where, for example, I'm leaning on a closed door, and somebody will open it, thinking that that's what I'm trying to do, and it will totally throw me off balance, and then I will fall and hurt myself. That would be the closest thing that I have to be analogous to what you said. Even then, though, and this is the screwed up part, because even then, in the case where I've injured myself, I can see completely what they were trying to do, and I can see the goodness in their heart, and it makes me feel bad. On the other hand, though, I've also had situations where I've tripped and fallen on the street, and people have literally walked right over me. And as much as you'd think that makes me angry, it really doesn't, because I don't know if I would help somebody who just tripped. But I can't. I don't do it because I can't. I don't do it because I'm a mean person. But in my head, everyone who stepped over me isn't mean either. They're just in a hurry or couldn't do it for whatever reason either. And so I guess what I'm saying is that it's definitely more difficult, but when the situation presents itself, that they're usually right, which is the opposite of you, and I get that, but I guess that's the trade-off of not sitting down in some way or another.
It's funny because sometimes if someone ignores the fact that I clearly appear to need help, then I get frustrated. Or if someone sees me approaching a door, mm-hmm. and doesn't bother to hold it for me or lets it close on me, then I say, "Oh, really nice. You just let the door slam on the girl in the wheelchair." But then I sometimes think to myself about the people who literally run all the way in front of me and cut me off just so that they can grab the door for me. And I'm like, "Oh man, this person is trying to give me all this special treatment just because I'm in a wheelchair. Leave me alone. I can open my own door." So sometimes in my own head, I realize that people can't win for losing with me.
But in that particular case of opening doors, I don't know about you, but I hold doors open for everyone, and I can honestly say that it's not an act of chivalry or feeling bad for the disabled person. It's just because I was raised in a world where holding the door open for somebody in front of you, or behind you, or even in front of you in some cases, is the right thing to do. If they're immediately behind you, you hold the door open, you let them go first. If they're a little farther, you hold the door open, and they come in after you. It's just what I do. Whether or not you're sitting down, or a woman, or any other weird rule to that situation does not apply. 100% is not relevant to me. I actually will get really annoyed when somebody doesn't hold the door open for me, because most people I know would. I think it's rude. I think it's right up there with not saying excuse me, or please, or thank you. It's a matter of manners more than anything else.
Dude, I'm gonna argue with you for a second, because you let doors close on me all the time.
Yes, but that's because I hate you. No, it's because I don't know whether or not you have it. And that's a strange wheelchair situation. Because you don't hold the door open with your hands like everybody else. You hold the door open with the machine that you're attached to, and that's fine. But it's hard to gauge whether or not you're fully in, and I'm not 100% at guessing when that is yet. And sometimes the doors get heavier on the way in, unfortunately.
Likely excuse. No, I understand what you're saying. I think about it, and I think you know me, so it's a lot different.
Yeah.
And I'm also willing to yell after you that you should have been nicer and hold the door for me. But, you know, I'm not going to say that to a complete stranger. But sometimes I'll be out in public with more than one person who has a visible disability, and then nobody will bother to hold the door for us or help us. And at that point, I just think, really? Come on. An act of kindness wouldn't kill you at this point. And so I'm trying to find the balance in my head between being grateful for help, but not rejecting help, but understanding why people offer to help. It's just this big jumble in my head.
I don't think that there's a fine line between those two things, though. I think that most of the time, the situation can honestly be remedied by asking if you need help. I understand that a door is a weird situation because it's just a thing that you either do or don't do. But in most other situations, if you can just ask the person if they need help, then the situation will resolve itself. Because either you do, and then you're going to tell the person how to help you, or you don't, and the person ideally will just say, oh, okay, and walk away.
Yeah, that's another thing. When you ask someone, it opens up the opportunity for them to explain what they need so that you can actually be helpful. And that's huge, because sometimes, like, example, when I'm traveling on an airplane and the people who help me get on the plane, if I'm not with my family, it seems to be quite the circus production. And they sometimes, without even asking me, will grab me off of the aisle chair that they use to help me get into the plane, and it'll really hurt. So I've taken to saying, before anyone grabs me, this is what I need, this is how I need you to help me, or don't touch me there, or don't grab me here. And I feel like I have to be very firm, because a lot of times non-disabled people treat me as though they know better what will be most helpful for me.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that... Yes. Has there ever been a case where they've been right? Has there ever been a case where they did in fact know better than you? That you have misread their intention, and that they ended up doing something that you didn't realize they were trying to do, and ended up being better?
I can honestly say nothing that I can think of, and I don't want that to sound like I'm just full of myself.
No.
Think that I am the all-knowing power. But I also just know what's going to hurt and what my body can do and what my body cannot do. So I guess I'm also able to very firmly speak up for myself, but there's a whole other set of issues. Let's say somebody uses an assistive device for communication, or someone has a speech impediment and they're trying to verbalize the assistance that they need, but people aren't patient enough to sit there and take a minute and listen to what that person is trying to convey.
I mean, that's just basic disability etiquette, and that should actually be another episode.
Stay tuned.
But I agree, especially in the cases where you're communicating with somebody who's nonverbal, or at least verbal in a way that isn't through their mouth. I've never seen somebody run out of patience quicker than when dealing with somebody like that, unfortunately. Generally speaking, what they'll do is they'll speak to the nearest person that looks like they can speak, which is just awful. It is the worst thing ever.
Yeah, so unwanted help ties in directly to a big phrase that disabled people will throw around, and people may not understand what it means, but presuming competence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you should probably tell everybody what that means first.
Yeah, well, it's funny because the word...
You
wouldn't
want to presume competence, would you?
The word standing alone, I mean, anyone would, I think, catch on to the meaning of it. But in regard to disability, it means not assuming that someone is incapable of thinking for themselves or advocating for themselves or doing something for themselves, and let that person take charge and show you what they can and cannot do. And so often that seems to be a foreign concept to people. Even when dealing with someone who is able to clearly verbalize what they need, it's like the wheelchair suddenly throws everything off.
I'm going to give these people a little bit of a bone, though. I mean, sometimes it's their first time. And that's okay. You know, if that's the case for you, then nobody's going to dislike you or feel ungrateful for the help that you tried to give and ended up not. Generally, at least for me, if I receive some form of unwanted help, I can see through it enough to know that the person, you know, honestly tried. In my case, more often than not, what happens is it doesn't do any good. In Emily's case, it sounds like the worst thing that can happen is it does harm. For me, it's a zero sum, but for her, it's a net loss. So it's a little different, I suppose.
Well, what if you're walking down the stairs or down a ramp and someone tries to help you? Would that be useful, or would it throw you off balance?
It depends entirely on what's going on. If I'm running down the stairs, then I do need help, but there's nothing anyone can do to help me. I used to have a coworker that once she knew about this little thing that I sometimes need, that she would just do it. And the first time she did it, it was before that I explicitly said that I needed it. So she just sort of picked it up in passing, which is great, I suppose. But at the same time, I didn't explicitly say it, so I didn't really know how to feel about it, but I really couldn't be too mad because she was absolutely right. What she did was, she noticed that there was a fairly large step. We're talking like a 4-inch gap between the step and the ground. And she hopped off of it and gave me a shoulder to lean on, which I didn't need. I didn't need that. That's a gap that I can cross without any issue whatsoever. But it helps if I have a shoulder. It makes it that much more easy. And I remember just being sort of confused, like, oh, how'd you know? How did you know that I needed that? And what she said was that she just sort of assumed that it would make sense that I would need that. And I don't want to say I wanted to be upset about that, because, you know, that just sounds like I'm being pretentious, but I wanted to feel like, oh, this is somebody assuming that I needed help when I might not have. But in reality, what it was somebody who was around me enough to know little intricacies of my disability without having to ask me, although I would have been happy to talk about them, by just picking up little things that she's noticed about me. And I think that that's great. You know, I don't like assumption. I don't mind presumption. When you have a reason to do what you're doing, rather than blindly following in this idea of help, if your help is catered to that specific person rather than somebody in a wheelchair, they must need help, I think you'll go farther. I mean, I think asking is the best way to go. But I think if you're too shy to ask, but not too shy to help, the best thing you can do is sort of survey the situation a little bit and see, what makes sense from a purely common sense perspective. Because sometimes you might be right.
Or maybe a little bit more instinctual.
Yeah.
Which I think sometimes comes with having any sort of relationship with a person.
Yeah, but I mean, even like, you could also just put yourself, if they switched places, if the person trying to help you was sitting in your wheelchair and you were trying to help them, what would they want you to do? And this is what the person doesn't tend to think about. But if you ask them to, I mean, if you're asking them to, you're asking for a thought exercise, so you wouldn't actually do that. But if you could get them to that point where they would consider what would the situation be like, were they the one sitting down, I feel like more often than not, they'd be like, oh, yeah, that was ridiculous of me. I should have done this.
So a little bit of put yourself in their shoes for a second and try to figure out how you might respond if the help was thrust upon you in that way.
Yeah, or even in a, like, that's not even wheelchair or disability specific. If you're, like, if you see somebody struggling with a lot of heavy groceries and you want to help them, what's the best way to do it? Probably the best way to do it is to first ask them if they need, and then hold one of their bags, or if it's a big bag, hold underneath one side or something. It doesn't have to be about disability, and yet somehow, when you are disabled and visibly disabled, because it doesn't happen to me so often, it's just a giant help me flag that you can't get rid of. And it doesn't come from a place of being ungrateful. It generally stems from a place of pure frustration because we realize that you're so helpful without being helpful. Or rather, that because we realize that your intent is so good and so well placed, but your execution of that intent is so off.
I'm also thinking, as you're talking about the different types of help, and you're talking about intent and execution, but sometimes people are helpful under the guise of condescension, or condescending under the guise of helpfulness, rather.
Which is it? Because I'd say that both of those things are true.
I think both of them exist. But I think that what I'm getting at right now is condescending under the guise of helpfulness. So I'll get into an elevator, and I have literally had people say, oh, the button's right there, sweetie. And I'm like, I see that. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Really appreciate that.
Yeah, that well, I've learned to laugh at that. Because what can you do? That person, to me, is too far gone. If that person's idea of a good deed is helping somebody in a wheelchair press a button, they're never going to sit there and learn why what they did was sort of screwy. They're just not. They're going to go home and think about you once over dinner and then never again, and that's that. And just like you, you're going to tell the story on the podcast, and you're never going to think about it again until it comes up again.
I probably think about it more than the average person because I'm always encountering situations where I'm navigating the waters of help.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think you're right. I have to laugh it off. I have to let it roll off my shoulders and just sort of write a few people off as a lost cause, but hope that, you know, maybe they'll think about what they did.
I don't even, and I'm this is going to be a somewhat unpopular opinion, but I will say that even in that case, I really get it. I'd never do it because I know better, and I think everyone should know better. But I understand that not everyone does know better, and I understand that even in a case like that, they really thought that they were helping. Was it condescending? Absolutely. Was it wrong? Absolutely. Did they think they were doing the right thing? Yeah. And that's the worst part. That's the worst part. I would honestly rather somebody be outwardly condescending and tell me that they hate me or something like that.
I don't even think that's condescending. That's just rude.
Well, whatever. I'd rather have somebody be overtly condescending to me for disability-related reasons then hide it under the guise of help. But I think that when they hide it under the guise of help, though, they don't really realize what they're doing is condescending. And I'm not so cynical as to not know that, but then the problem becomes, where do you start? I mean, that's such a weird thing, because it's weird for everybody, right? They think they're doing the right thing. You know they're doing something good, but for all the wrong reasons. And, I mean, you know, not hitting hitting a button in an elevator doesn't necessarily have to be a good thing. But, you know, I was in a McDonald's once with my friend who has no arms, and somebody took time out of their day to show us how to open a door. And, yeah, I mean, great. But what he failed to realize is we were already in the McDonald's. Like, we know how doors work.
I realize that the people listening can't see my face, but boy, did my jaw just drop to the floor.
No, but it's true. And I mean, what do you do? I mean, what we did was we screwed with him. Like, we're like, oh, thank you so much. Like, oh, we really appreciated it. Which is the exact wrong thing to do if you're actually trying to teach somebody something. But in a case like that, what else is there to do? I ask as an open question. Because, like, you gotta have fun sometimes. Not everything has to be a teachable moment.
That's a really good point, because...
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but...
No, that's okay.
To amend myself, I really do think that most moments... I think that as disabled people, we should take advantage of our teachable moments, which is also somewhat of an unpopular opinion. But not everything has to be, such as how to use a door.
No, I think that unwanted help or wanted help and teachable moments really do go together, because a lot of times I want to explain why what someone's doing is maybe not the best thing, or maybe they could be going about it a little bit differently, but then I end up realizing that the moment has passed and I was a little bit too shell-shocked to even go about having the teachable moment. So I wish that I could be better at doing it on the spot, but sometimes the only thing I can do is go with it because I'm just so struck by it.
And also because you have stuff to do.
Right, exactly. You're going somewhere.
You're busy, yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things. There's no definitive, everyone, like, somebody walks out of that situation with their pride wounded. And that's okay. Like, sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need, like, to have your pride bruised a little bit to learn something. But I will never say that help is bad. I will never say that unwanted help is bad, because unwanted help is still help. The bad comes from the lack of knowledge based on how to help, or the insistence that your way is the way to help and the only way to help and the definitive way to solve the whatever conundrum I find myself in. Genuine help is always appreciated, and that's not a disability issue either. Everyone loves help sometimes.
Yeah, I'll give a perfect example that's completely not at all disability related, but just shows how sometimes unwanted or unrequested help can actually be a good thing. I was in a home improvement store with my family last weekend, and my dad was carrying a really heavy box, and all of a sudden we passed by this couple that had a wagon, but there were only a few things in the front of the wagon. So out of nowhere, the woman looks at my dad and says, "You clearly need this more than I do, here," and starts taking the box out of his hand and putting it in her cart and then taking her stuff out of the cart. And basically relinquishing it to my dad. And was it requested? No. Was my dad totally fine carrying the box? Yes. Does he have any sort of disability or indication that he was struggling? No. But it was this, I guess, random act of kindness that was actually really appreciated and kind of restored my faith in humanity. And then my mom and dad and I had a lovely little chat with them, and we all went on our merry way and felt good about everything. So that's a perfect example of how sometimes unrequested or unwanted help can go perfectly well.
Yeah, it all just comes back to, like, assessing the situation and asking, you know? "Hey, need a hand," will do more than just giving one, because what am I supposed to do with it? You don't know me. But if you give me the chance to explain why I might need your help, then you can do a better job at helping me. If you want to help so bad, then you'd take the extra 30 seconds of your life to learn what the best way it is for you to do that.
I totally agree.
And when you ask if we need it, then it lets us decide. And it isn't sort of, oh, okay, I'm in a wheelchair and you're in my life now because you think I need help. It lets us decide whether or not the help is wanted or even necessary. Sometimes it might not be. Sometimes it just looks like we're struggling because, I mean, we know how we look. But, no, it's true. It's true. We know that to the general public, people with disabilities look like train wrecks. I mean, this is a secret that we try to keep, but some of us are willing to admit it. And I guess that's sort of where this comes from, because I don't know. Just ask, man. Just ask.
I think one of the best examples of how to go about asking in the right way is I was at the movies with, I guess I'll say the guy I'm dating, and he and I are relatively, you know, just starting out in a new relationship, and so he's sort of getting used to my needs as someone who has a disability, and he does not have a disability. And I was getting up from the movie theater seat at the end of the movie, and it's a bit of a high jump from the theater seat to my wheelchair seat, but I do it all the time, so I'm used to it. But he doesn't know that, so he just said, "Can I do anything to help?" And I said, "No, I'm good." And then he just stepped back and let me do my thing, went on talking, didn't insist that he had to help me. And I just thought that was the perfect example of what to do in a situation where you're not sure if help is required.
Yeah. That about covers it.
And is it safe to maybe leave it at an example of what to do rather than what not to do?
Yeah, because you could talk about what not to do for days. There's so many ways to do it wrong, but the only way to do it right is this is actually the easiest way too, if you think about it. So just ask.
help
is always appreciated. We don't mean to sound ungrateful. That's one thing we want to make clear, is that it's not the help we don't enjoy. It's the assumption that we need it, and it's the assumption that we need it that particular way, at that particular time, in that particular capacity from you.
Well, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you feel like there's ever a time where you would want to sit there and, you know, explain everything? Would you be willing to sit there and explain your needs to every person who ever asked you? Would it get more annoying to you if people asked you constantly, after how can what? I help, or do
no.
you need help?
No. No. Because if you're
asked... You'd always rather be asked.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the thing is, if you know me, then you know how to help. And if you don't, you would ask me if you know me. If you're a stranger and you ask me how can you help, or if I need help... If you ask me if I need help, my answer is going to be, if it's yes, it's going to be immediately followed with what you can do. It's just a thing. That's a thing I do. Yeah, that doesn't bother me at all, because if you're asking me, then that means that you want to do it. So I'm willing to take a sentence and help myself help you help me, so to speak.
If you followed all that.
Yeah. Yeah, the answer. I mean... Yes, it could get annoying, but it doesn't happen to me often enough where that would get annoying. I understand maybe for you, people see a wheelchair and assume that you're incompetent and can't do anything except breathe, and even that's probably a miracle to them. So explaining your every need to them, I could understand, could get completely tedious, but for me, I'm always willing to explain myself, because it's really not that much. It's usually, hey, can you stand in front of me? Hey, giant man on the subway, do you mind if I lean on you while the poles are taken? You know? And that's another thing, too. I'm not ashamed to ask for help. Ever.
That, you know what? I know we said we were going to conclude it, but really quickly, I think that's the best note to end it on, is that it is not a source of shame if someone disabled asks for help. That's not something to be ashamed of. It is okay to be interdependent. It's not dependent, it's interdependent.
I think that, and I think that most people doing the helping, if that happens, generally get it. For the most part. I mean, if they say no, it's not, I would assume if somebody says no to a request for help, it's more that they're busy doing something else and they're a bad person. I maybe that's cynical of me, but I would assume that most people usually are willing to help unless they really can't. And if they really can't, you probably don't want their help anyway.
Yeah, so I think we should wrap it up on the positive note of it is okay to ask for help. It is okay to offer help. Consider the ways in which you offer help and just be willing to work it out, to take the extra second and make sure that you're not making any assumptions about the person who you're offering to help. And I think that on that note, we can wrap up the podcast.
Sounds good to me. Next time, we're going to talk about sex.
So stay tuned, because that should be interesting. Or maybe we'll talk about something else.
Or dragons. Kyle
wants
to
talk about sex and disability.
All right. See you guys.
So on that note, we will catch you next time. Bye.